Folks, how about that little intro from Artist Tubb there? This segment here is brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Doug's Jugs, maker of some awesome jug lines for catching catfish. That's online, dougsjugs.com. Also by Newella Fish Company. Well, folks, those of you that live in Texas and Oklahoma, probably Louisiana, you know about Lake Tewakene. In my opinion, there could not be a better catfish lake. And Tewakene is good for a lot of things, hybrid stripers, white bass, but it is catfish central. Now, Tony Pennybaker's guided out there for years and fished there for most of his life, I guess. He's our guest, and Tony's a good friend. I fished with him a lot. Let's go down to Lake Tewakene, which for those of you out of state listening, that's about, an hour east of Dallas, maybe a little less than an hour. And let's see how the fishing's going. Tony, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Yeah, good morning, Luke.
I know you've been real busy with guiding your catfish trips, and I know you well enough. The days that you're not guiding, you're thinking about getting out there. You're probably out there. You and I've caught some good fish right off your dock even this time of year in the past years, you know?
Yeah, they'll move in there.
Yeah. Are they – let's focus on blue catfish. Now, I know before much longer, few weeks down the road, You'll be targeting a lot of channel catfish over baited holes. But let's think about blue cats now. And to my way of thinking, there's no better eating in fresh water than the blue cat. Nor those rascals can fight, too. Are you catching a lot of the eater-sized blues now, Tony?
That's all we're targeting. We're two to a bit. Oh, 8 or 10 pounds. Not too many of them. Most of them going to average about 3 or 4 pounds.
That's the prime one.
Size, yeah. You know.
Uh-huh. And I've seen on Facebook your post. We're going to tell folks how to connect with you on Facebook here in a little bit, too. But I've seen up some some piles of blue catfish.
My hand's been give out from butchering fish.
I can see that. And, well, and they're the size that I like. You know, a lot of people, when you talk about catching catfish, it's all about that big giant catfish. I've caught big cat blues, you know. I have. Biggest one I ever caught was 53 pounds. But if given the opportunity to catch a bunch like you're doing now, a bunch of eaters or one trophy fish, I like the action. And the truth is, I like the fillets when it all is said and done, Tony. I bet a lot of your clients are like that, right? You know?
The majority, I mean, that's majority of people like to carry something home and eat it. There's a lot of just strictly trophy fishermen out there. But what I'm doing now is what most people like to do. They like to come out, catch their limits, and get a lot of meat for the freezer.
Exactly. And you do spend the time and trim that meat when they leave the dock after they fished with you. I've done it many scores of times with you there. I mean, it's ready for the skillet, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, this April's been on fire. Now, March was good. We caught a lot of fish in March, but I've already passed that. I've already passed the month of March already in April.
In numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this cold spell here kind of affected them some, you know.
Yeah.
We fished yesterday and they wasn't biting quite as fierce.
Mm-hmm.
But man, some of them days, a couple of days there, I had to cut back to 3 rods.
Oh, man.
I couldn't even get no more in the water.
Wow, now that's...
I just said, I'm going to rack these back, y'all, and let's just use 3.
Yeah.
I believe we'll catch more fish.
Yeah. Well, you use those like the circle hooks where they, when they hit it and then put tension on that rod, they kind of hook themselves. You just...
Oh, they'd be hooked.
And, yeah.
You know, there'd be fish on there swimming around out there. We don't even know they're on there yet, you know. That's why I was cut back 3. When I'd throw it out and it hit the water and there'd be one on it.
Wow, boy, boy, boy.
It's just fast action, limited out some mornings with two people by 9 o'clock.
Boy, that's good. And our weather this spring has been, it's been cooler, I think, than some most years. But there'll be a warm-up where it's almost 90 degrees for two or three days and a cold front blow in. It's kind of a cycle this spring, hasn't it? You know, the hot to cold.
It's
you know?
Been kind of strange. Mm-hmm. You know, water temperature was getting up there. I think like when we limited out the other day over there, right before this front hit, I looked, glanced down, and of course it was about 11 o'clock, 11:30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the water temperature was 71.8 where we were sitting. Yesterday, I pulled in that same spot, and the water measured 57 degrees.
Wow. That big a change.
You know, little creek where water runs in.
Yep.
And that rain was cold. You know, I went down and got some stuff out of the freezer while it was raining the other day. And, man, that rain was cold.
Yeah.
It really cooled again.
Yeah, cool. The water temperature down. Yeah, it fluctuates.
Even out in the big waters, like 64 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of movement in just a couple of days.
Oh, for sure. Well, Tony, tell our friends how, you know, the technique. I mean, I fished with you so much, I could probably write the script myself for you. But tell them how you rig up, and you know
I think last time when we were talking about it, we were fishing down in the bottoms mostly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've shifted. You know, the fish now have shifted to the points.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fish a lot of even stretches of bank, but out on them points, you can find a lot of fish in the windy side of them points, and fishing same rigs, basically Santee rigs, 2 to 3 ounce weights, same size hooks, 4, 5 aught, mm-hmm. You know, using very small shad though. I'm not trying to get the bigger shad and cut them into smaller pieces like I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm strictly trying to get the inch and a half long shad.
Okay, yep.
And that's what they're really, really biting. I could cut up a big shad into small pieces, and they don't bite it as well as they do an inch and a half or 2 inch shad.
It's amazing. Tell us how you hook the shad. Or do you thread him on there?
I worm him on there.
Yep.
But to stick it through his eye and then go right through the center of his body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All the way down to his tail, nearly the end of his tail, and then pinch off the rest of it and throw it out there.
Okay, here's a question that I think I know the answer to, and you've got a theorem on this that I've learned years ago. Now, that hook point, a lot of people think you need to bury the hook in the bait, but and I won't say a lot of people, most people say
I had
say
someone
it
on the boat the other day.
Yeah.
Very same thing, wanting to bury it up in there.
No.
Leave that hook out. Bring that hook out there. Mm-hmm. It can't hook that fish if something's in the way as easy. You need it out there where it can hook him.
And
you don't know what that thing is.
No.
That's what I always tell them. That fish don't know what that hook is.
Yeah.
If he did, he'd turn around and run.
Tony, you nailed it. And, you know, all my years of fishing was professional guys like you, you know, I've never had anybody bring that point. That's that point up, not the point of the hook, but the point of exposing the hook. I mean, yeah, that fish he's not down there with those whiskers and very sensitive skin and all that. And he smells some shad, some food. He's not up there. Let me put my whiskers on to see if this is a hook.
Right.
No.
Yeah. You need that hook out there where it can catch the fish, you know. I mean, if you bury it up, you're just going to have to try to jerk it hard enough to get it through bait plus hit the fish, and more than likely, about 90% of the time, you'll jerk it out of his mouth.
Exactly. And let's think about the way a circle hook works, friend. I know our friends at fish know this. You know, say a plastic worm for bass fishing. Well, yeah, you got to set the hook. You feel that bass nibble, 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 and you rear back and you set the hook. Well, a circle hook doesn't work that way. he grabs it and clamps down on it and swims away, and it just threads in his mouth. you don't want that thing to have to, you're not going to be jerking back if you do it right anyway, are you, Tony?
No, you need the reel. There's more slack and more stretch in them lines.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are using braided and it don't have as much, but you still need to turn that crank a lick or two, and a small pullback don't hurt, but a jerk will hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just tell people it's kind of like when you, if you're bass fishing and you throw your lure in a bush, and how you get it out of there? Well, you usually reel it up about to that limb it's hanging over, and then you give it a swift jerk,
mm-hmm.
and come out of there. But if you reel it real slow back up into the limbs, you're going to hang it up.
Exactly.
That's the same into that fish. You reel down on it, and it pulls point of that hook into that fish's mouth slowly, it's going to embed.
Mm-hmm.
And any pressure at that point is just going to drive it straight through it.
Thread it on there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But a swift jerk might jerk it out of there. I've seen it so many times.
Oh, I've done it so many times when I was learning, you know, back with a circle hook. Tony, I do want to do this, connect people with you. Facebook or whatever that want to come to Tewakinee, and people are listening. This becomes a podcast now after all of our fine radio stations run it. So people listen to that podcast from all over. They may not know where Lake Tewakinee is, but it's an hour east of Dallas, friends, is where it's at. How do they connect with you, Tony?
You can find me on Facebook, Thunder Cove, Lake Tewakinee Guide. Just call me. You know, my number's 903-474-3078. And you can look me up on the web, and actually you can book trips on my site.
It's
Lake Tewakinee CatfishGuide.com.
Okay, yep. Lake Tewakinee CatfishGuide.com. Yep.
Yep, and you can look at my calendar, and you can book a trip, and make your deposit and all that right from the site if you prefer to do it.
Yep.
And if you have any trouble, you can always just call me.
Exactly. It's a modern era for fishing guides and everybody else, Tony. And thank you a lot, buddy, for being with us.
I appreciate you having me on the show, Luke.
Folks, this is Luke. For about the past decade, I've been hunting editor for Air Gun Hobbyist magazine. I think the only magazine devoted strictly to air gun shooting and hunting in the country. Well, in that length of time, I've learned quite a bit about big bore air guns and smaller calibers, too. A spot to go to that if you're interested in air guns, you need to know about Pyramid Air. The website is PYRAMYD, PyramidAir.com. They have anything and everything you need, from the guns themselves, the big bores or the smaller calibers, to the accessories. Just remember PyramidAir.com, and there's a number when you get on the website if you need to call and talk to somebody. Give them a buzz, and they can fill you in on little details that you might need to know about shooting or hunting with big bore air guns. While you're on the website there, I'd like you to check out the big bore air gun that I've done a great deal of hunting with. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw, 50 caliber, pressures up to 3,000 PSI, and it looks like a conventional rifle. Wooden stock. I think you'll like the appearance, and I know you'll like the performance. It shoots not only bullets, but also air bolts as well, tipped with a broadhead. Check it out. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw.